of Exodus, chapter 1, the book of Exodus, chapter 1, or chapter 3, I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 3, preaching through the life of Moses. We're looking at the life of Moses. Grace and truth, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And this life of Moses, we said he is a picture, a foreshadow of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And you cannot underestimate the life of Moses, one of the most famous men, one of the most well-men known in the world. Now, we're going to preach this morning on the subject of the plagues of Egypt. Most people who haven't even read the Bible know about the plagues of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 20, God told Moses beforehand, he said, I will stretch out my hand. Verse 20, everybody there, say amen.
Amen.
And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Now, we're preaching this morning about the plagues of Egypt. And I want you to, we're going to preach it in the sense of the prophecy that it gives us about some days that I believe are not too far off in the distance. And maybe sooner than we think. For the plagues of Egypt is a rehearsal and a foreshadowing prophecy of what's going to happen during the Great Tribulation period and how God is going to destroy the devil and all of his forces. How God is going to win this great battle between evil and good. And so I pray today this message will be a message of encouragement to you and strength and hope, knowing that God has the ultimate victory in all these things that you're seeing. Lord, we need you this morning. I pray that you just help us to be crucified with Christ. And Lord, we are. But I pray, Lord, in a very practical manner this morning that we'd be hidden behind the cross and that the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up and that he would be magnified and, Lord, that he would be glorified through the preaching of your sweet word. Lord, I thank you for the promise of heaven. We thank you, Lord, that there will be a time when all the tears and sorrows of this world will be behind us. Lord, that's made possible by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I praise you and hallow your name today for that. God, if there's folks here today who are unsaved, they're one heartbeat away from an eternal hell. God, eternally lost, no hope forever and ever. I pray, God, today they'll be saved today. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us while we were yet sinners. God, thank you for loving us after we've been saved and been as sorry as dirt. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy that's new every morning. And Lord, we just pray now, bless this service. Bring glory to yourself, Lord, I'm asking you. And God, help these people. Give them hope. Give them encouragement. Give them the thrill of victory today as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God had called Moses to be the human instrument to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. One thing I like about this whole historical account is that God had told Moses in advance how it's going to be. He told him what was going to happen. He told him how it was going to happen. He told him what Pharaoh would act like. And he told him the whole story ahead of time. And can I say to you that God has told you the whole story ahead of time. God has told you how this thing's going to turn out. I told someone this morning on the phone, I hate it to see the direction America's going. But the truth about it is, God has told us what would be like in the last days. This world's going to get darker and darker and worse until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And so God had told him about that. And I thank the Lord that he's told us. This conflict between Moses and Pharaoh is a preview of the drama and the conflict between God and Satan. And just as sure as Moses defeated Pharaoh, God is going to defeat Satan. Just as sure as God delivered his people, Moses delivered those people, God is going to deliver his people. And so this great conflict between Moses and Pharaoh is a picture of the greater conflict between Satan and God, between good and evil. And by the way, it's raging in America right now. There will be 10 plagues in this conflict. These 10 plagues are a testimony. The number 10 is the number of testimony and testing in the Bible. It is a prophetic forecast of the future. I'm going to be preaching on prophecy. There are 10 plagues. These 10 plagues, the people and the action are all a preview, what I call, of the big show that's yet to come. This deal in Egypt was just a dress rehearsal of the coming dramatic period of history known as the tribulation period. It is a foreshadow of prophecy of the greatest importance. And I'm telling you, when you're reading back and over, you're just not reading some history. You are reading the future in advance. History is going to repeat itself very soon. Only in a great and far greater scale than it was in Egypt. Whereas this occurred in one country, in one nation, this coming conflict and judgments of God will occur around the globe. It'll be a global situation. The execution of these 10 plagues are of the highest importance, how God did it and in the order He did them. To understand the power of God over Satan in this world, let me tell you something you need to know, and you need to know solid, that your God, the God of the Bible, is all powerful. He is over Satan, and He is the conqueror, and it's not even a contest in some sense of the word. You don't need to worry about things, how bad they're getting. That's a waste of your time. What you need to be is aligned with Almighty God and say, glory, hallelujah, amen, let's get them, because it's fixing to happen. And we talked about that song on Heaven's Bright Shore. We're headed there. And so I'm saying to you, listen, God wants you to understand this program that He has, and He wants you to be real solid in the ultimate victory that God has over sin and Satan and this world and his enemies. You say, Reggie, what was the purpose of these plagues? Number one, these plagues were a public manifestation of the power of God over Satan and over this world. Mankind has atomic bombs, nuclear bombs of all kinds, and all kinds of powers and so forth, and governments and this, that, and the other. But let me tell you, God is over all of them. We think we've got a communication system in this technological world, but I tell you, God's reading your thoughts right now. That's how big God is. He don't even have a cell phone. He doesn't need one. God hears everything you and I say. We're worried about somebody putting a chip in you. We're worried about government surveillance. Buddy, let me tell you something. God's already surveilling things. He knows what's going on. What man is trying to do is become God in all of this effort there. So it was a public manifestation of the power of God. And in the future, God is going to publicly and openly manifest His power over Satan in this world. Secondly, the purpose of the plagues was a divine visitation of the wrath of God, watch this, on a nation that abused and misused the people of Israel. Now you listen to this preacher. You're listening to a preacher that believes that Israel is the chosen nation of God, and that those who touch them are touching the apple of God's eye. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now. You don't put your finger in God's eye, He'll slap you straight to hell. And all down through history, anybody, any nation that touched God's people, God has destroyed them. But God has really given you a show here of how He deals with a people who are at, and in the future, the Antichrist is going to try to destroy the people of Israel, and He's telling you what God's going to do to him. Thirdly, it is a judgment upon the false gods of Egypt. Now, I wanted to this morning, don't have time. There's a list that long or longer of the, in fine print, of the false gods that Egypt had. They had hundreds of false gods. But behind these false gods, a lot of them were human, some of them were half human, some of them were animal. They worshiped the sun, they worshiped the river, they worshiped all these creatures. And every plague was God destroying the gods of the Egyptians. Behind those gods were devils, real devils. Behind the gods of this world are devils. You say, Reggie, what's going on in Washington, D.C. and in America? The prince of the power of the air, the rulers of the darkness of this world. May I say to you today that I believe with all my heart, and I do not say it sarcastically, but regrettably, that I believe our president is demonically possessed. You can amen that or not. If he is not demonically possessed, he is surely demonically controlled. For no man would push same-sex and sodomite marriages without being an enemy of Almighty God. No man would push for the murder of innocent babies in the wombs of mothers without being demonically oppressed or controlled. And so I'm saying to you, you wonder what's wrong with these people that want all this un-American, un-Christian, unbiblical stuff to go on. There's devils behind it. It is not just some object or some issue. There's a satanic instrument behind that. And so number four, it also demonstrates that God is God, that He is Almighty God, and there's none beside Him when it's all over with. Number five, these plagues are a testing to this world. You see, God never brings the world into judgment without giving them opportunity to repent. And nine times, God gave Egypt and Pharaoh an opportunity to repent. And instead of repenting, they hardened their hearts and refused to repent. So it wasn't all just about judgment. It was saying God was putting the pressure on. By the way, did you know that's what God does in our lives? God will put pressure on. He wants you to repent. God will put more pressure on. He wants you to repent. He does that with His own children. God gives us warnings. God allows things to happen. He's saying turn. And if we don't, then it gets worse and worse. But it's also a solemn warning to other nations. You remember when the spies talked to Rahab, they had already heard. She said what God had done to the Egyptians and the mightiness of their God. It was a warning to that land. Further than that, the Philistines even were still saying in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 4 that they remembered the judgments of God upon Egypt because of what they had done to God's people Israel. So it's a solemn warning to other nations. But finally, it's a test to Israel itself. Would they believe God? Would they trust God? Would they obey God? When God told them to kill that lamb and put the blood on the door, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Would they obey Him? Did they have faith? And so at the same time God is judging, God is also testing and building faith in His people. I want to go over this morning very quickly, an order of events, a sequence of events of the latter days. Now, I've passed out before here two or three times sheets of paper that have from creation to consummation, to eternity. From eternity to eternity in the sense of when God injects time. But I want to bring it up to where we're at right now. In the order of events in Scripture, the period that you're living in right now, that you're living in and I'm living in, is what's called the great falling away in Scripture. It is a time of apostasy. It is a time when people have departed from the faith. That means they've left the Word of God. I don't know if there's a preacher preaching on television that uses the authorized version. I don't know if there's preachers on the radio. I don't listen to any of them anymore. I can tell you this, what I do hear, they've departed from the faith. There's a reason the Bible says they'll depart from the faith, not some faith, a faith, the faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. All of these Bibles do not agree. They disagree. They cannot be the Word of God. One of them has to be the Word of God. Even all the various new translations, they all disagree with each other. And there has to be a Word of God. And by the way, isn't it something that at the time America and the world started bringing in other Bibles is when we began to see the great falling away? So you're in this time of apostasy. You're in this time. Now I know you may look around you this morning and say, well, there's lots of folks here at church. But can I tell you something? That across this country, if you don't entertain and feed people, they're not going to church. There are very few churches you can go to now in America where they're going to preach the authorized version of the Bible, where they're going to preach on sin, and they're not going to feed you. All right? And you got to dilly-dally with people. I'll tell you what we ought to do is put an ad in the paper and say, real men take their kids to church. They don't send them on a bus. And you're living in a time of apostasy when men don't stand for nothing and preachers don't stand for nothing. And people is just like, well, I go to church if I feel like it. And God's my little slot machine. I'm just using Him when I need Him. And there's this great falling away. There's this, in America, even lost people. When I was a boy, lost people were more righteous than many Christians are now. They at least revered the Word of God and said, that's the Bible, that's the Word of God. We've kicked God out of our schools, out of our court systems, and we've kicked God out of our churches. And so we're living in this time of great apostasy. Who would ever dream that we'd have all these people claiming to be preachers and preachers marrying queers and all kinds of trash and junk like that going on in church houses? Who would dream that we'd have preachers get up and favor things that we 30, 40, 50 years ago we knew without question was wickedness? And so I'm saying we're at that time of apostasy. The next thing that will occur, according to Scripture, is the catching away of the church, the Christ coming for His bride, the church. The church is composed of born-again believers in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is not coming for people who signed a card of membership. He is not coming for people who were baptized. He is coming for people who've been born again into the family of God by a birth, a spiritual birth. And may I say here today, if you've never been born again, Jesus Christ told a religious man, ye must be born again. I'm telling you, listen, I know some of you have heard that. To you, it just passes through your brain like a rocket. And you've never got it yet. But I still say to you, the Bible says you must be born again. And that's the next event on God's calendar is in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead shall rise. And we which are alive remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. The dead are going to come up first. We which are alive will be translated in a moment, the Bible said. And we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And that's called the rapture. That word's not in the Bible, but that's a word that expresses the doctrine. Being instantly taken out of this world. That's the next event on God's calendar. Now, I want to say something before I move to the next thing. There are people teaching that the rapture of the church or the taking out of the bride of Christ will not occur before the tribulation. Some are teaching at the middle of the tribulation. Some are teaching at the end of the tribulation. Let me tell you where they're wrong on that. Number one, that fits no Old Testament typology whatsoever. There are no Old Testament foreshadows for a scenario of that kind. But what's the biggest problem is that replacement theology has crept into the churches. Now, replacement theology is this, where they've replaced Israel with the church. And they don't believe that God has anything more to do with Israel. And anytime God is talking to Israel, they apply that to the church. You will naturally come to the conclusion that the church is going into the tribulation if you have replaced the church with Israel, because Israel is going into the tribulation. And that's where they get mixed up at. So I'm saying to you this, when you hear somebody tell you that they believe that the church is being taken out during or after the tribulation period, you know instantly you have a person who, whether they understand it or not, has swallowed the false doctrine of replacement theology of Israel replacing the church. The two are separate. They are not the same. Spiritual privilege to Israel started with Abraham. He was the first Jew. He is the father of Isaac. Isaac, Jacob. Jacob changed to Israel. Israel, the 12 sons. The patriarchs, and the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was designed to be a light to the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. They rebelled and they refused exactly according to the prophecies of the book of Deuteronomy. And God removed Israel. That's where we get the term Ichabod. That's where your vision of Ezekiel comes from, where the presence of the Lord and the power of God was removed from their national life. And Israel has been in rejection of the spiritual privilege, and they were taken out at AD 70, according to the prophecy of Jesus Christ before He died on the cross. After that, the church came into spiritual privilege. That's why the Bible talks about, did you know that on your dollar bills and your money this morning, it says, in God we trust. That is not a light statement, before the Bible says, in Him shall the Gentiles trust. That our forefathers were so embedded with Scripture, they took that prophetic statement and put it on your money. And we're living in what's called the times of the Gentiles. There will be what the Bible calls the fullness of the Gentiles when spiritual privilege ceases. Spiritual privilege was to Israel. Spiritual privilege has been removed from Israel, given to the church. And there'll be a time when the church is taken out, and then spiritual privilege is restored to the nation of Israel, and they will be converted to Jesus Christ at that time. Blindness in part has happened in Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come. That's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. And so you have this catching away of the church. After the catching away of the church, the tribulation period will start. That is a 7-year period. It's used as the word week in the term of prophetic weeks of Scripture. And it's the 70th week of Daniel. Now, that week of 7 years is divided into 2 3.5-year periods, of which the first 3.5-year period will be the introduction of the Antichrist to the world. And I personally believe that what you're seeing now in the way of technology, and I'm not up with it all, but I can tell you this, that I just saw this week a photo of some of the first people in New York City, I believe it was, showing the lady on the doctor's table there, where their entire family was having a chip put in them. Now, I don't understand all about everything and don't claim to. I just know this, that our God, watch this, our God doesn't need man's technology to know where we're at, what we're thinking, and what we're doing, and He is in absolute control. The Antichrist wants to be God. In order to be like God to people, he must know where they're at, he must know what they're thinking and what they're doing, and have absolute control over their lives. This is what you're seeing in the advance of technology in the generation that you're living. What I'm saying to you is this. The stage is being set for the appearance of the Antichrist and the ability to control multitudes upon the face of the earth. Let me give you just a brief example of this. In the book of Revelation, during the tribulation period, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, there are two witnesses who come down. I believe they're Moses and Elijah. And they're going to appear and so forth, and then they're going to be killed, and they're going to be resurrected. And the Bible says that the whole world will see them. It's not been 50 years ago or 60 years ago, the whole world wondered how. People scoffed at that and said, well, how would that be? No, you couldn't see people on the other side of the world over there in Israel. Happened to it. Now we know we can watch it in live time. You can watch it on a phone in your purse or in your pocket in live time. So we know that the Word of God is being fulfilled with technology right in our very presence. So you see, the Antichrist will come on the scene. Now, there's something very important about that. Revelation 6 says that he'll come on a white horse. Revelation 19 says that Jesus Christ is coming back on a white horse. What's that tell you about? Now, we're going to get to this pretty soon. The Antichrist is an imitator of Jesus Christ, and it is his prime objective to make people believe that he is absolutely, truly the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will do it. Because the Bible said that if you will not receive the truth, God will give you over to a lie and strong delusion, and you'll believe a lie. You reject the Lord Jesus Christ, God is going to back away from you and let you believe a lie. And so you're seeing this thing of the tribulation began, the Antichrist coming on the scene. Now, the tribulation in the Bible is called, in Jeremiah, the time of Jacob's trouble. It is not the time of the church's trouble. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. That's Israel. The tribulation was foreshadowed in the Old Testament by the flood. Israel carried through. Enoch was a picture of the church taken out before the flood. Noah and his family is a picture of Israel being carried through the tribulation, coming out on the other side. Job is a picture of the great tribulation. There are 42 chapters in Job. That fits 3.5 years, 42 months, the last half of the tribulation, the great tribulation. And Job, if you'll follow his life, comes through with all these persecutions and plagues, but he comes out on the other side victorious with God. Daniel is another foreshadowing of the Jews in the tribulation. Daniel is put into the lion's den, but the lions couldn't hurt him. He came through and came out. The three Hebrew children were put into the furnace of affliction and fire, but Jesus was with them and brought them out on the other side. And so God has laid, and by the way, in your final one is what you're looking at this morning, Egypt. And their deliverance is a picture of Israel being taken through the tribulation, taken out on the other side unto God. There is, at the end of the tribulation period, at the end of that 7-year period, the Lord Jesus Christ will come in power and in glory. This is called in the Bible the revelation. This is where the earth will be dark and Jesus, the light, he will come and he will destroy the armies of the Antichrist and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the battle of Armageddon. After that, there'll be the judgment of the nations and Jesus will establish his rule and reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years, according to the book of Revelation chapter 20. He will rule and reign with a rod of iron. What that tells you is that there will be depraved man still upon this earth. Satan will be bound 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, but man cannot blame Satan for his evilness then, because Satan is bound. It's what's in the heart of man that's getting you. And so he binds him as Jesus rules and reigns for 1,000 years, and at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan is loosed out of the bottomless pit, and he will raise a rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ, and fire, the Bible said, will come down out of heaven and destroy them. At that point, what you have is the second resurrection, or the resurrection of the dead lost, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. And that's when those all through history have died without Jesus Christ, faith in Christ, whether you were before the cross or after the cross, raised and stand before the great white throne judgment. Saved people do not stand at this judgment. They stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and that's already happened when they were taken out to heaven at the resurrection of the just. But the lost will stand before the great white throne judgment, and they'll be judged according to their works. And everyone in that judgment was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. All right? After that, you see the new heaven and the new earth, and we move into the eternal reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. Now, having said all that, I want to go through now these 10 plagues, and because I want this thing to be in the context of its historical prophetic stage. The 10 plagues are these. Number one, God changed, through Moses, turned the water of the Nile River into blood. That's Exodus chapter 7, verse 14 and 25. And by the way, tonight, we're going to go back and look at these plagues in a very unusual way. I think you'll enjoy it. A good Bible study tonight. But the first one was the water turned into blood. The second plague was a plague of frogs. Frogs came out of the Nile River and literally frogs everywhere, in their bedrooms, in their kitchens, in their cooking. There were frogs everywhere. That's in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1 through 5. The third plague was lice. The dust turned into lice and just literally were everywhere. You couldn't get away. And you say, I don't think that's too bad, Reggie. I'll tell you what, I'll turn 1 million ticks loose on you and you'll think that's bad. I'm telling you something, folks, these are not light things. You turn the water in this country right here into blood, there'll be the awful screaming and going on, and I'll tell you what, it'll turn this country into chaos. You turn frogs loose like they were in that country, and this country go nuts, go crazy. You think you've got problems now. And then after the lice was the flies. And Exodus chapter 8, God sent the flies, and the Bible said that they just were on everybody, everywhere, on everything. And the fifth plague was the cattle disease. The cattle were smitten with a disease, murine. And that's in Exodus chapter 9. The sixth plague was the plague of boils and sores upon men and beast. By the way, I told you that Job was a picture of the tribulation period. What did he have? Boils. All right? Boy, I'm telling you what, I mean, God doesn't miss nothing. I guarantee you, you see all them Old Testament pictures, they'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. The seventh plague was hail out of heaven with thunder. All right? The eighth plague was locusts. And the plague of locusts came on the eighth plague. And they devoured all the vegetation in the country. Can you imagine? I have had army worms on my farm. I can tell you this, that army worms will always start on the back of your farm. They know better than to come to the house. That's a fact. They'll start on the back of farms and work their way out to the roads. They do not start on the roads. They go to the back side of the pastures. I can tell you this. I was out on the back side of my farm one time, and down the bottom, it looked like a lawnmower had come directly in a line across my back field. You're like, what in the world's going on? Found out his army worms. By the next morning, they were approximately, I would say, 800 to 900 feet moved toward my house. And they had mowed it down, and the only thing left was little bitty stems sticking up from the fescue. That's just one little bunch of army worms out on my farm. These locusts literally destroyed all the green vegetation. The environmentalists, they'd have themselves a fit. I'm going to tell you about this bunch. God's going to give them just what they're asking for. You mark it down your day book, Al Gore's going to get his global warming. I'm telling you. These animal huggers, they're going to get it. These tree huggers, they're going to get it. God's, they are the false God worshipers of our day. The environmentalist movement and all that garbage and these tree huggers and animal rights people. And I'm telling you something, they're new agers and they're worshiping the devil. Worshiping the devil. That's what's behind all this garbage. The ninth plague was thick darkness. So much so that they gnawed in pain. And then the tenth plague was death itself. The firstborn of every man, the firstborn of every family and of every beast was slain. Anyone who was not under the blood of the paschal lamb or the sacrificial lamb representing the Lord Jesus Christ was killed. I want you to take your Bible. I'm going to show you something real interesting. To Psalms chapter 78. And I want you to see how God gives you a summary of these plagues in Psalms chapter 78. Really interesting how God records this and some things that He tells you in Psalm 78, and we'll be looking at verse 43. Psalms 78, verse 43. Everybody there say amen. Amen. Now He's talking here about the deliverance of Israel. And about all the so forth and about him. And he gets to verse 43 through 51. He's rehearsing the plagues of Egypt. How he, God, had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. And had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. Verse 45. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which did what? Devoured them. And frogs, which what? Destroyed them. Buddy, them must have been some big bullfrogs. I could preach a whole message just on the frogs. What God was, I won't do it. You'll have to come back. But I tell you, the frogs is a wonderful message. You ever study a frog? He's a picture of demons. Now, I like frog legs. But anyway, there's a deal with frogs. But anyway, look at the next thing. Verse number 46. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar and their labor unto the locust. Now, I just had something. Can I unhook my message right now? Unhook the train and just give you something? How many knows what a caterpillar is? No. It's a tractor on tracks. Now, I'm going to give you something. How many wonders, how did the caterpillar tractor come up with the name caterpillar? That's exactly right. And somebody was studying God's creation, and I can prove to you that everything that you've ever enjoyed being created that was used of mankind, that they studied God's creation, how it moved. They studied the traction and the physics of it. Now, we'll hook our message back up. And their labor unto the locust. Verse 47, he destroyed their vines with hail, their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to the hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble. Watch this, by sending evil angels among them. God is revealing in Psalm 78 the mechanism by which He did all that stuff back in Egypt. He sent evil angels to accomplish His will. Verse 50, He made a way to His anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength, in the tabernacles of Ham. And that's a great message enough of itself, because Ham was the third son of Noah who looked upon his father's nakedness and received the curse. And that's something ought to be preached in America right there. All right. Let's look at the 10 plagues and the surrounding events. Now, here's what I want you to do. We're going to do this. Over here, this side is going to be what happened in Egypt. over here is what's going to be happening in the tribulation period. Number one, and by the way, we're not just talking about the 10 plagues. We're talking about everything, the whole sequence. I'm going to give you about 20 of these. We're going to jump and run and eat Sunday dinner. Amen. Number one, Israel was living in a time when they were afflicted and persecuted. They were enduring suffering and trouble. And during the great tribulation time, remember, and open the book of Exodus up, and it says they were afflicted by their taskmasters, and they groaned under the affliction. Israel is going to be groaning under the affliction of the Antichrist after he makes a covenant with them and breaks that covenant at the end of the 3.5-year period. He is going to afflict the Israeli people and the Jewish people. He's going to try to annihilate them and liquidate them from the face of the earth. That will happen in the time of Jacob's trouble. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 5-8, it tells you about it. So in Egypt, you have this affliction of Israel. In the tribulation period, you're going to have the affliction of Israel. By the way, the hatred and the satanic hatred of Israel is building even in the United States as we speak this morning. We have, as far as I know, the first president in the history of America who is anti-Israel and pro-Muslim. Let me tell you something. Made me about lose my spirituality this week. The Palestinians terrorist group kidnapped 3 Israeli boys, slaughtered them like hogs, and buried them. You know all about it, he can say? Now y'all need to get along over there. But just as quick as somebody, and it looks like it might have been some Jewish people, got a hold of a Palestinian boy this week and killed him, oh, he rose in righteous indignation that they would try to execute revenge on Israel. I'm telling you something. You're blind as a bat, and you're willingly ignorant if you don't believe this guy's bad trouble. He is trouble for America because he's trouble for Israel. I have no respect. I respect that office, but I'm going to tell you he's wrong. He's going to get this country in trouble. Tell, we need a president to rear up on his hind legs and send the army down to the Mexico border and say, this is done. We need a president who will raise up on his hind legs and say, you touch Israel, you're going to have to whoop us, and we're done with it. Don't you bug them no more. Amen. Plus that, under the pretense of his junk, let out 5 of the worst terrorists that we had in Gitmo. I'm telling you what, I believe he's anti-American. Amen. Turn the volume up. I want you to hear it. I ain't whispering. He's anti-American, he's anti-Bible, he's anti-Christ. I believe, and by the way, you know why we got him? Because that's what we asked God for. We said, God, we don't want you in our lives. So he said, I'll give you what you're asking then. Shame. Into the second thing, Israel, in their bondage and in their affliction, they cried out to God. The Bible said in Exodus 1 and 2 and 3 that they cried out to God. And the Bible said the Lord heard and answered their cries. During the tribulation period, Israel is going to be under affliction and they're going to cry out to God. And God's going to hear them and God's going to come to their rescue. In Egypt, God commanded their oppressor to let them go. In the tribulation period, God has already given commandment to let his people go. Isaiah 43. In Egypt, God sent 2 messengers, Moses and Aaron. In the tribulation period, God's going to send 2 messengers. I believe it'll be Moses and Elijah, and I'll show you why later. Fact of it is, take your Bibles, get hitched over in Revelation, get in about the middle of the book, and you'll be close and handy for about anything. In Revelation chapter 11, oh, look at this. This is amazing. It's talking about these 2 witnesses in verse number 3 and how they'll prophesy and so forth. Look down in verse number 6. These 2 witnesses have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Can you tell me a man in the Old Testament that had the power to shut the rain off? Elijah. That's why I think Elijah's there. Now what's the next one? And have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all what? Plagues. You tell me somebody in the Old Testament that did that? That's Moses. I believe it's Moses and Elijah. Both of them were great men of God at crisis points in Israel's history. God is sending them back. So you got Moses and Aaron down there during the Egyptian deal. You got 2 witnesses in the tribulation period. Number 5, Israel's enemies perform miracles. Israel's enemies performed miracles. Moses throwed his rod on the ground. It turned into a serpent. Pharaoh said, come here, boys. Magicians come down. And by the way, the Bible tells you the names of those two magicians in the book of Timothy in the New Testament. And the Bible says they were withstanding Moses. They threw their rods on the ground and they turned into serpents. But Moses' rods swallowed up their rods. That's why in the Bible says in the New Testament that death is swallowed up in victory. Ooh, I want to preach on that. You ought to study the word swallow in the Bible. And the death is going to be swallowed up in victory in the book of 1 Corinthians. That's a picture of death. That God is going to swallow up death, all that sin brought by his power. And so, what's going to happen in the tribulation period? Go to Revelation chapter 13. Now, you stay right to Revelation. I'll show you this. Revelation 13 during the tribulation period. In verses 13 through 15, the Bible said, talking about the Antichrist, he doth great wonders so that he make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceiveth them by them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast and that had the wound by the sword and did live. By the way, this Antichrist is going to die and be resurrected like Jesus Christ. That's why we don't live by signs, we live by faith. And he said, that verse 15, had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast they should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Can I give you just a little side note here this morning? I want to ask you a question. How long has it been since you fell on your face before Jesus Christ and worshiped him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I'm talking about getting down on your face before God and just saying, Jesus, you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, he said, it's been a while since I've done that, Reggie. Can I tell you something? If you don't worship him, can I tell you who you're going to worship? You are going to worship the beast. You don't have an option about it. They're either going to kill you or you're going to bow. Now, we're not mucking around here talking about nonsense. No man can serve two masters. And if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you what's coming to you, you're going to be forced to worship the Antichrist, the beast. And so, Israel's enemies perform miracles, and I just want to say something right now. For years I fought this thing. I don't hate nobody, but you got to stand somewhere. You don't stand for nothing. And I would tell you right now, I wouldn't give you a dime for a church service watching a man's leg grow. I believe the modern healing movement is not of God. I believe what we're seeing is the... You say, wait a minute, Reggie. Yeah, but it really happened. I agree. It did happen. I'll tell you something else I agree with. The magicians sold their rods on the ground and they turned into serpents, and it wasn't a magician trick. They turned into serpents. That's what the Bible said. It did happen. So what are you going to do? Worship God and the magicians bunch? You're going to worship the gods of Egypt and stuff? Let me tell you something, folks. If this Bible teaches anything, it teaches you that Satan is going to be allowed to do great signs and wonders that people will just be astounded at. And we're already seeing the prep for people doing that with this modern movement of all these signs and wonders in these church movements. And they're swinging me. I've had people say, but Reggie, I saw it with my own eyes. I'm glad. Good. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it happened. Just don't believe it's of God. You say, Reggie, don't you believe in healing? Yes, I believe in healing. But you know what? Just calling for the elders of the church and praying over them normal with oil just don't make a big show, does it? That just ain't quite the show. And don't bring in the offering plates either. You got Benny Hinn and all this crowd running around blowing their hands. And you say, well, I was at church and I seen them. They fell over. I mean, Reggie, they fell. I had a lady, a good friend of mine, her and her husband said, went to this church. She said, Reggie, I was just standing there. Next thing you know, I was on the ground. She said, it really happened. I said, I'm sure it did. Yeah. Just wasn't the power of God. It was the power of the devil. Yeah, right. You know what she turned and said to me? She said, I really wonder about that. Because she said, in my spirit, I felt like something wrong. She said, it's a different spirit in that place. You say, Reggie, you challenging the sincerity of these people? No, I'm sure they're sincere. Can I tell you something else? The devil's real sincere too. Sincerity don't save nobody. Sincerity doesn't make anybody right. Lenin was sincere. Hitler was sincere. They perform miracles. In Egypt, God executed sword judgments. In the book of Revelation, from Revelation 6 through 18, God performs manifold judgments upon. It's the same in the tribulation period. In Egypt, Israel was cornered and there was no way out. except divine deliverance. Can I remind you that when Israel started out of the land of Egypt and they came down against the sea, if you know your geography, ever studied it, watch this. There were two mountainsides steep like that on each side of them coming down into that Red Sea. The Red Sea was in front of them, mountains on the sides of them, and guess who was behind them? Pharaoh. There was no way out. In the tribulation period, Israel is going to be surrounded by the armies of the world, and there's no way out. This is the last deal. When Hitler came on the scene, there was a way out for many of the Jews. Some of them there wasn't. And all down through history, Jews have just moved and when they're persecuted. But in this deal here, they're cornered, just like the people were in Egypt. But God is going to deliver them. And they'll go. Here's the deal. The children of Israel knew that God was the one who delivered them at the Red Sea. Couldn't have been anything else. They're going to know Jesus Christ delivered them when He comes in power and in glory. Number seven, in Egypt, God protected supernaturally the people of Egypt from the plagues. In the tribulation period, God is going to divinely protect the nation of Israel from the plagues of this earth. He has a place prepared for them. I believe it's Petra. And God is going to, again, put that divine shield around that little nation. And though the devil and the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet, they're all going to try to get at him, they're not going to be able to get him because God's going to give them divine. In the Egyptian plagues, water was turned into blood. In the tribulation period, look in your Bibles, Revelation chapter 8. God's going to do the same thing in the tribulation period. Revelation 8:8. The second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast in the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Revelation chapter 16 and verses 4 and 5. And the third angel poured out his veil upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard an angel of water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because Thou hast judged us, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets. Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. You know, I'm just getting happy as I read this. You know what? I've got a God that's going to... You know what God said? Watch this. He said, Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. Amen. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'm going to enjoy watching God get him. Amen? I'm going to enjoy it. So God does that in Egypt. He's going to do it in tribulation. Exodus chapter 8, what came? God sent frogs. Look at Revelation chapter 16 and verse number 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. There were frogs in the plagues of Egypt. There's going to be frogs. And that's why I told you behind all that junk was devils, because these unclean spirits came out of the mouth of the dragon. In Exodus, in the plagues, in Exodus 10, there were locusts. In Revelation chapter 9, during the tribulation period, there will be locusts. Look at Revelation chapter 9, verses 2 through 11. The Bible said, He opened the bottomless pit, and there rose smoke out of the pit, smoke of a great furnace. Sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of it, and there came out of the smoke locust upon the earth, and unto them were given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And verse number 5, the last part, it said their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. In fact, people are going to, let's continue reading verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. I want to tell you something tonight. You can't suicide out of the tribulation period, and you can't suicide out of hell. I'll just tell you, I want to make a flat statement here this morning. I'll tell you, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. And I don't know everything. But I tell you, God save us from this crowd that's promoting committing suicide as a way out. Donnie talked about peace this morning. Let me tell you something. You get saved and live for God, in the midst of that storm he's talking about, there is peace. And I'll tell you something right now. You kill yourself, don't you expect me to get up here and preach you into heaven? I ain't going to do it. Now, if you like that, you can just like or not, but we ain't having a lecture about whether I'm still going to be a pastor here today, okay? But I'll tell you what will happen. You know why preachers quit preaching it? Because somebody in the church killed himself. And the preacher got up there, and if he don't say nice things and deceive that family get, if he even halfway insinuated that that person might have went to hell, the whole church is mad at him. Get rid of him. So I'm going to tell you in advance. I'm going to tell you kids, you listen to me right away. You listen to me good. Don't you never kill yourself. That's not the way out. you, I'm just going to kill myself. You stop it right there. You gird up the loins of your mind. I don't know why I'm preaching this. Somebody must need it. You make up your mind. That's not going to happen with you. I can tell you right now, you want to leave a mess for everybody for 14 generations? Just blow your brains out. Splatter your brains. Make your family clean that mess up. Make your grandkids see that. Destroy their hope. Yeah, you're nothing but a stinking coward. Why don't you get some guts and grit about you and say, you know what? Yea, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Get that junk out of your brain. I'm telling you, you're at church this morning. You're not the social club, the Elks Club, the Lions Club. You're at church this morning. God is the God of life, not death. These kids need to be told this. Suicide's number one, number two killer of American kids in America right now. About every 9 seconds, some kid blows his brains out under 16 years of age in America. I'm going to tell you right now, I've got hope. His name is Jesus. Amen. Lydia, don't you ever let the devil tell you to kill yourself. Your name ain't Lydia, is it? Livia. Sorry. Amen. Finally got it right. I don't know why I do that. Is Delia here? Used to call you Delia. She had to straighten out. It's Delia. Let me tell you something. I love you kids. But don't make your mom and dad sit in a funeral service like that. You say, Reggie, you don't know everything. I don't know much at all, no less than you think I know. But I know that ain't the way out. Amen. I'm going to tell you one thing. I believe in getting up in the morning and saying, bless God Almighty, here's another day. Let's go for it. See, but you don't know what I've been through. Maybe people sitting around you's had more sorrow than you knew what to think about. I don't know how come I preached on that, but anyway, it might help somebody. I hope you remember me a hollering and a hooping and a getting mad about it and say, I better not do that, Reg, you'll preach me into hell. Amen. Yeah, boy. I'll tell you something, I don't go for this stuff. We're cowering down. Boy, I don't know why I got off on that. Well, there was frogs. There was locusts. By the way, I was reading that thing. It said, death shall flee from them. Number 7, the shapes of the locusts were like unto the horses prepared to battle. And on their heads were crowns like gold. And their faces, the faces of men. They had hair, the hair of women. Ah, that's why I got my hair cut when it got saved. That doth not nature itself teach it's shame for a man to have long hair. I ain't mad at nobody. Don't tell me nothing about it. I used to have hair down my shoulder. By the way, Donnie, you talking about peace? Anybody know what this means? Everybody wants peace so bad there's a worldwide symbol of it. They walk around smoking dope. Hey, can I tell you something? Let me tell you where your dope smoking is going to get you. You listen real good. Just this week, a man told me, he said, Reggie, he said, a neighbor of mine come over and said he smokes dope all the time. So he's just a pothead. He's about 65 years old. Come out of the hippie generation. Still smoking his dope. He said, Bridget, come over here hiring a kite and wanted to sell me his farm for $5,000. He said, Reggie, I mean, he's ready to sign her over to me for $5,000. He said, I know, listen, you don't know what you're doing. You don't. He said, I'm going to Florida. You can have it. I'll just give me $5,000. You can have the farm. I'm out of here. That's where you'll get. Okay? So he finally calls his wife up and says, listen, your husband's over here. He ain't, you know, he's high. And he's trying to sell me your farm for $5,000. She said, oh, my God, he can't do it. I got to sign. He can't do that. Yeah. By the way, can I tell you something about your dope smoking? Oh, I'll tell you what, we're having a good time this morning just preaching on everything. And boom, 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 shotgun shooting. Just that rifle ain't here. I ain't got my rifles for it. I got tickled. Karen, can you believe this? I bought Karen one of them judge pistols that's got the pellets and the slugs in it. You're supposed to be able to kill anything. She goes out the other day to kill a skunk, missed it 3 times. Is that right? Is that right? You missed it? She thinks she missed it. Anyway, so you know what I do? I get an old-fashioned $35 Stevens one-shot, single-shot, 20 gauge, go out and kill it first shot. Wow. Oh. Listen, I'm talking about this morning. Listen, That ain't fair. I shouldn't have told that. I probably won't get no. You weren't supposed to tell that part of the story. Oh, listen to me. You know something, folks, listen. Church is the best thing in the world. Christ is the best thing in the world. You know, when we got hope and we got life, and I want to tell you something, God has changed your life. And I just got into that because I was going to tell you this. In the book of Galatians, talking about these locusts with the hair like men and the dope and all this stuff, it says one of the works of the flesh is witchcraft. Now, I'm not one of these guys who Hebrews and Greeks you to death, but this isn't taking intellectualism. All you got to do is go to a dictionary to tell you what the word is in the Greek. You know what it is? It's pharmacia. It's the word witchcraft in the authorized version is the Greek word pharmacia. It's where we get our word pharmacy. It's the dispensation of drugs. And here's what it is, the Bible's teaching you, that through drugs, demons will enter your body. So you start smoking that dope, and then you'll wonder, why did I do such a stupid, idiotic thing? Why did my kids do such idiotic? How could they have done something so stupid? Where'd they get that at? I tell you where they got it at. They got this dope-smoking demonic powers that entered into them when they're smoking dope. And now, by the way, they enter in and won't leave you. Only God can get them out. Well, the locust came. Then this boils and blains. God put boils and blains and sores on them. Revelation chapter 16. Look what's going to happen in the tribulation period. Revelation 16, verse number 2. The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and a grievous sore upon men, which had the mark of the beast upon that which worshipped his image. God is again in the tribulation. You're going to put sores on them. Then the next thing is hail. In the Egyptian plagues, there was hail. Look in Revelation chapter 8. And verse number 7, it says, the first angel sounded, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. The third part of the trees would burn up, and all the green grass would burn up. The environmentalists will go crazy then. I hope them tree huggers are sitting in some of them trees. But anyway, boy, I've got an honorary streak this morning, don't I? I want them to be saved, but if they ain't going to be saved, I got the same attitude about God. Die and go to hell. Then you know something? I've been preaching for 30 years. And I don't know what else to do. You tell everybody. You put it in the paper. You put it everywhere. And they just scoff and mock and they can care less. What are you going to do with people? What's God going to do with you? You've been piddling around for 15 or 20 or 30 years with your little religious game. What's God going to do with you? He's going to take you to heaven. Listen, just repent. If you don't anyway. Man, I don't know. This thing got me wound up. That's hail. In Revelation 8, 7, hail's coming. Same thing, tribulation. In Egypt, there's darkness came. Exodus chapter 10. Look at Revelation chapter 16, verse number 10. Revelation 16, verse number 10. Same thing in the tribulation. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. I did not know this. Karen and I went down to Blanchard's Cave in Arkansas. If you ain't never went there, you ought to go. It's better than Marble Cave. I mean, it is. And that's a really neat place to go down, tear down around Mountain View, Arkansas. And I'm telling you, I can't believe this guy. I thought she was going to a little old cave. Good grief alive. This thing like 2 mile long. It's the most beautiful thing. And they fixed it up the best you ever seen. Anyway, we got down there and they always do this little trick, but I didn't know this. They go down and they shut the lights off. And how long is it, Terry, till you go blind in that kind of darkness? I mean, it's like 30 minutes or so. You go blind. And I was sitting in that darkness. Now, that's utter darkness. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's a weird feeling. In fact, if it is, let me tell you something. They found a skeleton of an Indian who died in there, and they approximated it about 1,000 years ago, which is very, very possible. And his torch stuff is laying right where the bones of his hand was. His torches went out. It's what happened. It is over. Utter darkness. You can't move. You're afraid you'll fall off a 100-foot cliff. And he died right there. I'm telling you something. And by the way, this is really neat. How many knows which one of the plagues the darkness is? What number? It's the ninth plague. And if you read your Bible in Matthew 24, and it says the sign of his coming, the Bible teaches that there'll be absolute darkness upon the earth before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. This is one of the plagues of Egypt. It's going to happen in the tribulation. And it says the sign will be this. And the heavens were opened. And he beheld Christ as lightning. And I want to tell you, if you've ever been someplace where there's absolutely darkness, and then somebody just goes, yeah. That's why the Bible said he will destroy them with the brightness of his coming. Because they're going to be absolutely down. The darkness is going to be so much on, they're going to gnaw their tongues in pain. That which happened in Egypt is going to happen in the tribulation period. And the last one, the darkness. Then we'll get this. Pharaoh's heart was hardened in Egypt, right? Guess what the Bible said during tribulation men are going to do? They repented not of their deeds. All this plague's coming, they get harder and harder and madder at God, and they will not repent. What you're seeing is, I know I've done a sorry job of this, but what I'm trying to get you is, this is a dress rehearsal in Egypt of what's coming in the tribulation period. Death came to multitudes in Egypt. Death is coming to a third of the men were killed in Revelation chapter 9, verse 15. Death came to Pharaoh and his armies. And all that. So you got death in both things. Massive death. Israel was delivered in Exodus, and Israel will be delivered out of the tribulation period. Pharaoh's armies were destroyed and defeated in Exodus, and Satan's armies will be destroyed and defeated in Revelation chapter 19 when Jesus comes back. Here's an interesting thing. Where was Pharaoh destroyed at? In the Red Sea. Guess where Satan is going to be cast? Into the lake of fire. Isn't that interesting? And when Israel came out across the Red Sea, how many knows what they did? They did what Donnie taught on last Sunday and this Sunday. They rejoiced. I got to show you this. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 15. You know what they did? They sung and rejoiced, and it's called Moses' Song. It's in the Old Testament. There's two places that it's in the Old Testament given. But when they come out, I believe I would have done it too. If I would have come out in the Red Sea and I saw Pharaoh close in on the Red Sea and I saw God conquer them, I believe I would have had myself a spell too. Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. Now, isn't it interesting that the children of Israel are on the other side of the Red Sea, and the Red Sea has come back over, and Pharaoh and all his armies is gone, and they're standing at a sea. Verse 13, and they sing the song of who? Oh, they sing the song of Moses. You see, that's what's called in the Bible a nail clincher. You know that these Egyptian plagues are being foreshadowed for the tribulation coming, and especially when God ties Moses, the song of Moses, at the end of when Israel was on this side of the Red Sea and looked back, the whole chapter is a song. They literally, the whole chapter is called the Song of Moses, and they sung praise to God for his deliverance. And that's what Israel's going to do after they're delivered from the Antichrist tribulation period. They're going to worship and sing and praise the Lord like nobody's business. And that is in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. Now you say, Reggie, boy, you sure did preach on everything. Brother, I got on that shotgun deal because that was how my preaching was. That's what I was trying to get across. Finally dawned on me. I appreciate you. I thank you, Lord. Now let me close out saying this. Y'all just stretch. We're getting ready to go. I want you to get this. What I preached this morning, God wrote you all this stuff. Okay? He wrote it, the Bible says, for our learning. He does not want people ignorant of what's fixing to happen. Ignorance brings fear, bondage, and confusion. And did you know what's happening in America? We're having a lot of confusion, a lot of fear. And if we're not careful, we're going to have bondage. But God's people, I had a man tell me on the phone this morning. He said, Reggie, if I didn't have what the Bible says, I would be so discouraged. I would be absolutely without hope in my generation. For what I see happening to this country. So I want you to know that God wrote this for your learning. You need to learn this because it'll give you hope, faith, joy in the midst of this junk. Second of all, God wants you to know and understand the times in which we live. Okay? I think it's exciting to live at the time the Lord Jesus is coming back. Thirdly, he wrote it for our comfort. God is not up there. I told this guy this morning, I said, God is not up in heaven going, oh, my land, thanks alive, look what they did. And God doesn't want you. God wants you to be comforted. You of all people ought to know what's going to happen. Okay? And it's also written for a forewarning. you're here today and you've never been born again of the Spirit of God, you've never been saved, I'm telling you, you don't know what trouble is.